Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This might be my all-time favorite episode, which I know is a hefty statement, but I just got off the phone with Inner Circle member Kim, and she went from 193 pounds at her heaviest all the way down to 120 pounds at her lowest. And we had a wonderful conversation. Number one, hearing about how she lost the weight, what she did mentally and physically to actually make it happen and make it stick. And then we spoke about what she can do to maintain her weight without, quote unquote, dieting, because she said she's constantly in this dieting mindset and she just wants to be able to have a better relationship with food. So that's what we discuss. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They've been helping a lot. And just one quick reminder, the Inner Circle has hundreds of home and bodyweight workouts available. If you need something to keep you not only busy, but efficient and effective workouts for you to do at home, especially during quarantine, you can join at www.sfinnercircle.com. Enjoy the episode. Kim, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. I always feel awkward during this part because this is where we're supposed to pretend like we didn't just say hello to each other.
Yep.
But thank you for getting on the phone with me and taking this time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I feel very honored to be on here. I love your podcast and it really has helped me a lot. And so I'm hoping to do the same for some other people.
Well, I'm super excited. And I know you you have a really incredible story from what I read in the email, and I want to learn more about you, and I want to learn more about sort of where you've been in the past, where you are right now, and what you'd like to do in the future. And any way I can help you, I'm more than happy to. So you take the floor and just tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'll start kind of at the beginning of my journey. First of all, I'm married, mom of three boys, 16, 14, and 11.
Wow. That's a busy household, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun though. It's a lot of fun. I started gaining weight kind of when I met my husband after college, or actually during college. I'm 5 foot tall, so, you know, very short and petite. He is 6 foot two, so completely the opposite. So I just started overeating, and I gained weight pretty rapidly. Fast forward a couple years, then I had all my kids. I really didn't gain any weight with my children. I would always weigh less than when I started. When I got pregnant, I always weigh less at the end of my pregnancies just because I didn't eat as much. And that kind of set in my mind, like, hey, I could do this, you know, like I'm just eating less because I didn't eat super healthy. So after my last son was born, when he was about 9 months old, I decided I was going to lose weight. And I hadn't tried to lose weight many times. I never really tried, but I decided I was going to try. At this point, I was 5 foot tall, weighed 193 pounds. And cause I, after I had my kids, I said I would weigh less, but then I would just slowly pack the weight back on. So, after my son was about 9 months old, I decided I was going to try to lose weight. And I kind of said from the very beginning, I'm not going to quit. No matter what I do, I'm not going to quit. And so that's been about 10 and a half years ago. And
that's extraordinary.
Yeah.
I'm starting to interrupt, but that's absolutely extraordinary.
Thank you. It's really hard. I won't lie. Cause there's a lot of times I thought, you know what, it'd just be easier to quit. But I've always told myself that I would never quit. And I also told myself I wouldn't do anything that was temporary, because I really was trying to change my lifestyle and be a good example to my kids. So those were my two things, and I've stuck to those. And so fast forward, when I first started trying to lose weight, I did Weight Watchers, and I did it all online. And basically, you know, just how Weight Watchers work, tracking points, that sort of thing. And I lost weight pretty easily. And I'd say, I don't know exactly how long it took me to lose the first 50 pounds, but I would say it wasn't very hard just because I had never tracked calories or tracked anything up until that point. And so it was just, you know, being aware of what I was eating. And I didn't change what I ate right away. I just slowly over time have tried new things, tried different things. And, I mean, but a lot of it was just portion control and, you know, monitoring what I ate. So during this time, I didn't really start exercising at first. Then I started walking. Then I did a 5K, which was a really big deal.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and then did some more running, ran a half marathon. I didn't love running, but I liked the feeling of accomplishment and, you know, reaching those goals. Then I discovered weightlifting, and I haven't really run very much since then because I really like lifting weights. And I did a powerlifting competition.
Oh, that's amazing.
Just kind of for fun. And I did well, for, you know, my first one. So, anyway, so I've continuously lifted weights ever since I've started. And I love that. Like at first, when I first started exercising, I didn't like, working out first. Cause I started with doing videos at home and I would count down the minutes till the video was over. And so I didn't like that at all.
Like group exercise video type thing.
Yeah. Like, you know, Jillian Michaels or Beachbody stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Absolutely.
So, but then when I joined the gym, then I had some trainers and, really got to, you know, lift the real weights and learn a lot of different things. So I really like that. And so I've continued to do that. And as far as the weight loss, like I lost the majority of the weight, like I said, pretty easy. The next 10 pounds, harder, and that's kind of where I'm at, around the 60 pound mark. I've been about 15 pounds lighter, and that's kind of my goal weight, 120 pounds. And I,
so you're about 135 right now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I've gotten down to 120 two different times. And I'll stay there for a while, but then I'll reverse diet. And then I kind of put the weight, you know, back up to about this point. This kind of seems the point I kind of always get to.
Yeah.
And I really, really like the way I look at 120 pounds, and I really want to stay that way. I really feel my best there. I just feel a little uncomfortable with this weight. So I want to get back there. But, you know, I know earlier in the year you said you were going to talk about maintenance more this year. And so that's kind of why I wanted to be on this call, is because it seems like, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years that I've got that figured out. Well, I really don't, because the way I maintain my weight is pretty much dieting that whole time. And I want to kind of end that cycle. So
talk to me about what you mean dieting the whole time. What does that mean?
I've taken diet breaks after I've gotten to my goal weight and reverse dieted, probably 3 or 4 times, mm-hmm, for various months. But besides that, I've always been trying to lose weight the whole time. Like I've always been trying to get to 120. So for the majority of 10 years, I've been trying to get there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I got there, then I took some time off, and then on my weight will go back up, and then I'll try to go back down. So there's just not been a whole lot of time that I haven't been trying to lose weight. And that's the only reason why I think I've maintained my weight. I think I could probably maintain the weight I'm at now okay if I really, really tried really, really hard. But I feel like the way I've maintained my weight is white knuckling it. Like, yeah. I just don't have the strategies, and I just don't know what to do to not be dieting to maintain my weight.
Do you mean maintain the weight you're at now or maintain 120?
Either. I mean, 120, because that's where I'd ultimately like to be. And like right now, I've been this weight since about August, you know, up and down a few pounds. And I've wanted to lose weight, but in the back of my head, like, I don't want to try again. I can't be consistent right now, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about, well, when I get to my weight, what's the point if I'm just going to go right back up? Because I don't want to keep doing that cycle over and over and over. Like, I feel like I just need some tools, and being petite and small, I don't have a lot of calories to play with.
Correct.
Like my maintenance calories when I've tried to maintain, and I have maintained the 120 for, I think, like 8 months I maintained it. And then slowly it just came back. And, you know, so I have, but my maintenance calories are, I've usually around 1,650 calories. And that's really hard, like, to ever go out and have a dinner and a dessert. I mean, I just feel like it's so restrictive, even when I do go somewhere, that it's easy just to pack on a couple of pounds if I'm not diligent 100% of the time, all the time. Because, as you know, when you go to a restaurant, a lot of the meals, it's hard to find something even under 1,000 calories. And I've tried starving myself the rest of the day, and then that never works out good for me. I overeat, and then then I'm really hungry, and then I really don't care what I eat because I'm so hungry.
Yep.
I've tried doing some conserving calories, and I do okay when I know, like, the restaurants around here and what I'm going to have, and I can pre-plan. But, you know, when I go to a barbecue or a friend's house and have get-togethers and I don't know things, it's easy to go over 1,650 calories all the time. And I just feel so stuck by that sometimes. Like, how do I enjoy myself sometimes without it holding me back? And then I beat myself up because I know I went over. Like, I went out for my anniversary and I had everything planned. And I ate what I planned to order. I ordered what I planned to eat. But then they brought us some rolls. And they were delicious, and I ate those. So then I was over, and then we had a little thing of ice cream, and I was over. And it's just like, you know, and I know that one, you know, meal isn't going to, you know, pack on the weight, but it just slowly over time does. Like, when I'm in a dieting phase, I know you just get right back on track, and yeah, it'll just take you a little while longer to lose the weight. But as far as trying to maintain, I just don't know how to balance, like, those days when you do go over, like, do I restrict the next week? But then I feel like then I'm dieting again. And, you know, I'm trying to avoid that. I'm just trying to avoid dieting all the time just to maintain my weight. And I guess I'm just looking for guidance of how to do that and have a good relationship with food.
That makes 100% sense. I think you articulated it perfectly. And just before we even dive in, because there's a lot to unpack here, there's a lot I want to discuss. The first thing that I'll say is huge, huge, huge congratulations. Like, you've done incredible work. What did you say the highest was? 190?
193. Yeah.
193 at what? How tall are you again?
5 foot.
193 at 5 foot. And something you said that really struck me, and it took every ounce of willpower for me not to interject, because I wanna listen to the whole thing before I started to talk. You said, you know, the first 50 pounds wasn't that hard, and I sort of want to talk about that for a second before we get to where you are currently. What do you mean by it wasn't that hard? Just let's unpack that for a little bit.
Like, I just followed the plan that I had, which I told you
it was Weight Watchers, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I just followed it, and I wasn't obsessive about it, and I exercised some, and it just came off. I think I probably lost 50 pounds in probably 7 or 8 months would be my guess. The majority of it within the first year.
And you started by focusing on your nutrition, and then after that, you went to a little bit of exercise.
Yeah. Slowly just added in exercise.
And there are many differing opinions on Weight Watchers, and I think, like every program, there's pros and cons. But I've always been a big believer that I'd say I agree with the vast majority of what Weight Watchers does. Not everything, but I do like a lot of what they do. And I especially like that they don't say you can't ever not have specific foods.
Right.
It's the point system, which is essentially calorie counting, except without calories, they use points. So I love that. And so do you think that was helpful for you, just being able to include your favorite foods, just being aware of how much of you were eating?
Definitely, because it just made me see, like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And what I eat is my choice, and I can make it fit my goals. And that's kind of why I transitioned into macro accounting. And I've been doing that for about 6 years now, because it was just kind of the same thing, but more on a easier level, since you can just look at labels and, you know, look up things in MyFitnessPal. And
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask, you said 193. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just one, it was 193.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you stepped on the scale and saw 193?
Not the exact moment, but I just told myself I can never get over 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just like stuck in my head. Like I can't, and it was before I had my third son, when I was 193. And so, yeah, I don't know. And I didn't weigh myself very often, because of course, then you can stay in denial.
Yep.
So I didn't weigh myself very often, but now I weigh myself every day. And
so I'm very interested in moments. And it was funny, because when I said, what was your highest, 190, and you were like 193, it's that's a moment that clearly, like, that's like imprinted in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in moments, especially in moments in which someone makes a decision to change their life. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes, sort of, I think of it like growth spurts. I know my mom used to say this, that people used to think kids would grow a little bit by bit more like over time. Mm-hmm. But when you look at growth spurts, it's like a kid could grow like 2 inches overnight. Like they'll just shoot up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I sort of look at that as in terms of life changes as well. Sometimes you'll just be going along, doing your thing, and something will happen that will change your life forever. It will change the way you think. It will change the way you act. I'm just wondering, can you remember, or can you pinpoint, like, what happened that you were like, I'm going to do Weight Watchers. I'm going to do this. Like, what happened?
I just got tired of being uncomfortable in my own skin. I didn't like the way I looked. It was hard to find clothes that fit. I just got tired of that. And really, I wanted to be a good example to my kids. I mean, and after I had my third son, I kind of knew that I wasn't going to have any more children. And he was, you know, a little bit older. He wasn't a tiny baby. So things were a little easier there, that it was just the time to start and do something. And my husband had lost a little bit of weight too, and he's lost a lot of weight also and kept it off. But when I saw him lose a little bit, I'm like, I can do that, you know. And he just did a few small changes. We had a dog, and he started walking the dog, and, you know. And then I guess I just saw little things around me. Actually, I remember someone at like a mom's group I went to, and she had lost quite a bit of weight. And she had these little packages of Snickers. She said she would have like one or two every day. And she's like, it's just my treat. I love that. And I remember thinking, wow, well, I could do that. And that I think that's the first time it planted a seed. Like, it didn't have to be all or nothing. Like, I could do that too. So I think that planted the seeds. And then I saw my husband make other small changes. And it just made me realize that, you know what, I can do this. And I never really tried. Like, I tried the South Beach diet for a brief time, but that wasn't sustainable. But I guess that's why I also didn't want to try something that was temporary and yo-yo and be, you know, because I knew that served no purpose. Like, I wasn't trying to, I never had a timeline. I never imagined I would still be doing this, you know, this long later, but, and I don't have a timeline now. It's just, this is just, you know, this is part of my lifestyle. And, the mental journey is way, way more difficult than anyone can really tell you, but that's part of the process. And that's why it's never over, because it's not like one day you just wake up and you have it all figured out. And the maintenance part, nobody talks about that. Like, it's
correct.
And it's felt really lonely, like, with the struggles I've had with trying to maintain my weight, because people just don't talk about it. They always just talk about losing the weight, and, you know, what diet they're doing. no one cares about the rest. But I've also seen a lot of other people that have lost a significant amount of weight, and I've watched them, and the majority of them all gain them back. And I was like, so this is a real, you know, this is a real issue that a lot of people face, that, you know, there's not a lot of information out there where to go. And I have read your Momentum manual, and that was helpful, but and I know how to transition into, you know, the Momentum or maintenance phase, mm-hmm. but it's just how to handle those other times.
Yeah. So there's a lot to discuss, and I do want to just, I want to say something, cause I think it's very important and I want you to understand it, cause it's very easy to overlook things in yourself. You are a very unique individual, and you're very, very, headstrong. Is sort of like how I like to call it. When you decide something, you're going to do it. And it's very respectable, and I love it. I want to bring this up because I've noticed a pattern in your speech and in your thought processes that is very interesting to me. And it makes sense to me because I'm very similar, and I've noticed it among people who succeed in whatever it is they're trying to do. You saw the woman having the Snickers every day. Mm-hmm. Many people in that situation would see the person having a Snickers, and their response wouldn't be, oh, I could do that. Their response would be, I could never do that either because my mm-hmm. body doesn't work that way, or because I just have no control. Mm-hmm. You said that you saw your husband losing weight, and you're like, oh, I could do that. And many people's response would be, that's not fair that they're losing weight, or it's easier for you than it is for me. Mm-hmm. Your response was, I could do that.
Right, right.
There's something called self-efficacy, which I'm sure you've heard me speak mm-hmm. about in the Inner Circle a fair amount. Your belief in your ability to succeed. Mm-hmm. And there are many ways to increase self-efficacy, one of which is there's a method called social modeling. You look at other people who have succeeded, and you have the ability to say, wow, like I can do that. But this is a very transformative moment for me, actually, because the way that you worded this is very powerful. It's a lot about where you are in your mind, which we right. all know. Yeah. But, and it comes down to the victim mindset versus yep. the I'm going to do it no matter what mindset. And you said that yep. from the very beginning when we started talking, you were like, I'm going to do this, period, yeah. end of story.
Yep.
It's really incredible. And I needed to take a moment to highlight it because I don't know if you fully understand how unique it is and how impressed I am with everything you've done and how that's your mindset. It's really remarkable. So huge congratulations. And I just want you to take a moment to recognize that because it's incredible.
Well, thank you. And that really does mean a lot to me. And I agree 100% because my struggles that I've had, I got to figure this out. I can't play the victim because I've accepted this is how my body works. You know, I have to have lower calories. I'm a small person. I know that, but I'm just like, okay, I just need to focus on the tools I can use to get me to where I want to be.
Correct. So now we can go, now that we sort of unpacked all that, let's go more into your specific question, how to maintain, how to stop dieting, along those lines. There's a lot of questions that I have here. The first question, and there's no right or wrong to this, okay? It's a very honest question. You say you feel your best at 120. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not going to go straight into the question. I just want to might ask a little roundabout questions first. What do you mean you feel at your best? What does that mean?
I like the way I look. Mm-hmm. I can see my muscles more. I feel like my hard work shows. Because mm-hmm. Being a shorter person, when I am 15 pounds heavier, that's being 5 foot tall, that really shows up. So when I'm, you know, 15 pounds lighter, I can really see a lot of muscle definition. And that, frankly, motivates me.
Absolutely.
And makes training more fun.
I'm 5'4".
I get it. Yeah. I put on a couple pounds, like you can immediately see it in my belly, my face, everywhere. Absolutely. So I very much get that. Is that the only way that you feel better?
Yeah, like physically, and my clothes don't fit. And that really bothers me. Like, my pants specifically, you know, being 15 pounds heavier, my pants don't fit. And so, but yeah, overall physically, I feel just overall fitter when I'm 120 pounds, you know. It's just, I feel like working out is easier too. It's just, I'm not saying I feel bad being, you know, 15 pounds heavier, but I just feel fitter and I guess a little more energetic to at 120 pounds.
More excited. You can see your muscles.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about socially? How do you feel?
I have awesome friends. So, I wouldn't say there's really any difference there.
I think I worded that poorly, my mistake. By that, I mean, when you go out to eat, when you're at social events, how do you feel at 120? Do you feel restricted? Do you feel, do you feel like you can't enjoy yourself as much?
A lot of times. Yeah. Yeah. And I also struggle with trying to be perfect. And I feel like sometimes when I'm at my goal weight, I have to be perfect to maintain that weight. So I do feel a lot of pressure. And I also feel like people are watching me.
What do you mean by that? That's interesting.
People make comments. Oh, I didn't think you ate that. Oh, I know you don't like that, or you eat that. I mean, and those people that make those comments, those aren't my true friends. So generally I just brush it off, but.
Those are people who say, like, when you're 120 and you have a treat or something, people are like, yeah. They'll be like, I thought that you were healthy. You didn't eat this stuff.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know you ate that, you know, piece of pizza or don't. I love pizza and donuts. Don't get me wrong. So I do have those on a regular basis. But they've just made comments like, oh, I didn't figure you were going to eat any of that, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like I said, those aren't my true friends, so it doesn't generally bother me. But I just notice people are watching and judgmental.
Yeah, people always are, no matter what. I will say the good news is clearly you are an individual who does what you want to do because it's important to you, regardless of what anyone says. So that's amazing. Yep. And I have a feeling that you raise your sons that way. And just like, just the way you act and everything you've told me, that's very clear. Let me ask you this. And 100% honesty and 100% objectiveness, no emotion, as little emotion as possible. How would your life be better in every aspect if you could weigh 120 pounds for the rest of your life?
Honestly, it would probably matter very little.
Tell me why. And that's 100, like, I'm not agreeing, disagreeing. I'm just interested why.
Because I'm already a happy person. Like, I'm happy with my life. I have a good family, good marriage, good friends, good job. The thing is, I just like weighing that and I like the way I look, but I can't say I'm unhappy now that I weigh 15 pounds more. So very little. I mean, I know that.
That's great. You know? So, I mean, that's really the priceless question, right?
Yeah.
Like that's really the priceless question.
Right.
Could you weigh 120 pounds for the rest of your life?
I think I could. I really do.
I agree.
And that's why I haven't given up on that goal, is because I really do think it's a realistic goal weight for me. And I know that I just need some better tools and coping skills, and that it is doable, because for my height, that's not a super thin weight. And there's lots of people my height that weigh a lot less, but I look at them, I'm like, you know what? this is my happy, I call 120 my happy weight. Not meaning I am happy at that weight, but just a doable weight for me that I think is maintainable.
Why do you think it's doable and maintainable?
Because I've been there before and I have maintained it for a while. And I don't think I look super, super skinny because I'm not trying to be a supermodel or, you know, plus there aren't any supermodels that are 5 foot tall, but that's just why, because I've done it before. And
how long have you been able to maintain it before?
The first time was about 6 months. I'd say both times were 6 months.
And why did you not, why were you not able to sustain it after that?
I get in the mindset, okay, I'm at this weight. I want to maintain it and I do really, really well for a while, but I have to be super, super consistent. And over time, I want to have more flexibility because I'm not dieting. And so with more flexibility, I guess less consistency comes in. And I know, and then it's kind of a snowball. Then I gain a little bit of weight and that makes me kind of unmotivated or not unmotivated, discouraged. And then it's kind of a snowball. And then I'm less consistent and then I gain a little bit of weight. And that's how I, you know, go up in my weight. It's just slowly like that.
How many calories do you eat to maintain 120?
Well, after I maintained 120, I was about 1650 was about what I was at.
At 120?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many calories do you eat to maintain where you are now?
Well, I don't really know. Because okay. I've been trying to diet since August, but I haven't been consistent. It's been off and on. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
So right now you're maintaining about 135 without really tracking?
I track some and then I don't. I've just been very inconsistent, especially the last, you know, since the pandemic, I've been kind of all over the place with tracking. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I've been tracking pretty consistently until the last couple of weeks.
What's your best deadlift?
245.
Wow, that's amazing. 5 foot and 135. And what's your best squat?
180.
So you got a. Wow, that's like, what is that? 180, 245. It's about a double body weight deadlift, right around a double body weight deadlift. And what is that, like 1.5 times squat?
Yeah. About there.
Do you know other people who are 120 pounds who can lift that much weight?
No. Well, I live in a really small town and there aren't.
Are you going to use the small town excuse on me?
I'm just saying that in my gym, I've never seen anyone bench press. I'm never a woman bench press.
On the internet though.
I know. Yes. Yes. There are people that I follow that of course are my height that can do that sort of amazing things. Yes. I see that.
At 120, but like maintaining 120.
I don't know. I'm sure they're out there.
That's some bull.
Well, and I do like focusing on the strength too, because it's awesome to have other goals. Like a while back, I wanted to do 10 pull-ups and I got there and did it.
That's incredible.
But now I can only do like 1.5. So I've been doing the chin-up specialization program because my form wasn't
the one in the inner circle?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
But my form wasn't as good as I wanted to be. So I was like, I'm going to start this over. So I do love having goals like that to focus on too.
Do you know why I asked you if you knew anyone or had seen anyone who weighs 120 but can lift as much as you?
Not really.
So it was very deliberate. It was for a specific reason. It wasn't as ADD as I am. It wasn't just a random question. Mm-hmm. In order to lift that amount of weight, in order to do 10 chin-ups, in order to lift that much weight, squats, deadlifts, you got to have some serious muscle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like I do have a decent amount of muscle, and I am fairly strong for my size, and that does give me a lot of confidence. And that's, I guess, part of the reason too, that I've never quit training, even when I've been super frustrated, because those things do really help me a lot.
Do you know, so obviously when you lift weights and get stronger, you build muscle, which adds weight. Do you know what else your body builds as you lift weights and get stronger? So everyone knows, everyone's heard, bone density is super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a lot of people don't make the connection with is, as you do this, what bone density means is you are literally adding bone to your body. Mm-hmm. It's not only muscle weight. It's right. Also your bones are increasing in weight. Right. So here's what's really important to remember. Do I think that you could get to 120 pounds and maintain it for the rest of your life? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Do I think you would enjoy it? Absolutely not. Because
really?
I don't. And if you can prove me wrong, and I'll tell you why. You just told me not 7 minutes ago that your life wouldn't be different from getting that. You told me your words.
Yeah.
I think what you would have to do in order to get to 120 pounds and stay there forever, mm-hmm. I think when you're lying on your bed at 95 years old, you would look back and regret the things that you had to do in order to maintain that versus going after a different goal. Mm-hmm. Now here's the cool part about that is, and by the way, if you say, screw that, I'm gonna go for 120, I will support you as with 100% of every ounce of my ability. But going after another goal doesn't mean abandoning that one, because really the ultimate goal is what's going to make you happy, right?
Right, right.
If you weighed 150 pounds, but looked in the mirror and were like, damn, I look good, right. Would you care?
No.
So it's really not 120, it's how
it's
you
just
look
the
and
look.
Feel.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, 100%. 100%. Like, I don't actually care what the actual number is. I just know, you know, I like the look I have, and it has been at that weight. Yes, agreed.
So it's really not even 120 pounds that matters. It's how you look.
Right.
Now here's the interesting thing. We know the definition of insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over again with a different result.
And that's what I'm trying to get out of.
You absolutely dominated the goal of losing weight. You are incredible at it. You went from 193, you lost 50 pounds, just staying consistent. And it was challenging, but it really wasn't that hard, like you said.
Yeah.
You just made the decision, you did it.
Yeah.
Now getting to 120, that number, even though like you know what you want to do and you're sticking to it, you're struggling with it. Mm-hmm. And trying to get to that number over and over and over again, as you can tell and as you spoke about, is it's not working.
Right, exactly.
It's not that it's impossible.
Right.
Because you can do it. The issue is what you're going to have to do in order to make that possible, is it worth it?
Right.
Now, here's what I think would probably have to happen in order for that to happen. I think you'd have to be very strict with your diet. Mm-hmm. You would not be able to enjoy yourself as much. And even in the email that you wrote me, you were talking about you want to be able to go out to dinner. You just spoke about here. You want to be able to go out to dinner and not be worried you're going to go over your calories so much and be able to not have to starve yourself during the day.
Right.
I think you'd probably have to do a lot more cardio. And it's funny. I want to talk about that for a second. Mm-hmm. Because whether you live in a small town or a big city, we're all on social media, which is probably right. All a lot of the people on social media, and I see this a lot with figure competitors, physique competitors, people posting bikini pictures, swimsuit pictures, whatever. They'll talk about where their maintenance calories are. Mm-hmm. And they're super lean and oftentimes tiny, like very mm-hmm. small, petite people. And they'll say their maintenance calories. I'm like, that's way too high. That doesn't mm-hmm. make sense. And they don't tell you how much cardio they're doing every day.
Right.
A lot of the people who are saying they're having very high maintenance calories, like you're like, how in the hell do they have that high maintenance right. calories? They're doing hours of cardio every day mm-hmm. in addition to their lifting, in addition to being meticulous with their nutrition. So the reason that I'm very happy to have this discussion, I'm actually really glad because I think it goes very under-discussed, especially in the maintenance discussion, is if you are trying to maintain a very low body fat year-round, mm-hmm. in this case, we'll call it 120 pounds, you'd have to do more cardio or right. and or be overwhelmingly strict with your nutrition to the point of when you're 95 years old, you would regret not being able to enjoy yourself throughout the rest of your life because you wanted to weigh a certain number on the scale rather than based on how you feel. Now, the cool part is you can love how you look. You can get more muscle definition. You can get stronger. You can lift more weight. You can get leaner without needing to weigh 120 on the scale. Now, as you know from all my content in the inner circle, I'm a big proponent of weighing yourself. I'm a big proponent of it.
Yep. Me too.
I think issues arise when the goal becomes your weight. Mm-hmm. Your goal has to be how you look, how you feel, what makes your life better. That's your goal. How you feel, what makes you better, what makes you happy, what makes you excited, what makes you stronger, what gives you passion, what makes you a better human, which is one of the reasons why I always ask the question, if you were 120 pounds or if you were 10 pounds lighter, how would your life be any better?
Right.
The answer is not enough to make it worth it. That's a good thing because now we can target something else. And again, it's right. not saying you can't do it because to be quite frank with you, I think you, if you specifically as an individual, I think you're so headstrong and so determined and focused that you could do something outrageously bad for you if you really wanted to and just stick with it and grit through it because you're that kind of person. You're just strong. Mm-hmm. The question is that how you want to live?
Nope, it's not. And that's kind of the point I'm at. Like, first of all, I don't love cardio. So the idea of doing that much cardio to maintain a weight, I wouldn't choose that. Because that's not something I love. And I truly lift weights because I like it. I don't care how many calories I burn. I do it because I like the way I feel when I do it. And all the other positive things. And so the idea of doing cardio to maintain my weight, that wouldn't be something I would do. I just wouldn't. And I do like to go, I don't love cardio, but I do like to go for walks, but I don't ever want to change that for something I have to do to maintain my weight. Like I want it to be for enjoyment and for, other positive things, not to maintain a low body weight.
I love that. I love how the one thing that really shook you was the cardio. You're like, geez.
Not worth it. I'll stay this weight.
You could white knuckle a lot, but not the cardio.
Yeah. Like I've done some and I don't mind doing some, but yeah. if we're talking about a lot, no, I wouldn't do that because also I know that I couldn't maintain doing that for a long term. Yeah. In the short term I could do it, but like I said, I'm trying to play the long-term game and that wouldn't be part of long-term. And I'm also trying to take care of my body so that when I am 62 and 20 years that I don't have problems related to taking care of myself poorly because I was trying to get to 120 pounds. So that's part of my long-term gain too. Like I want to be an 80-year-old still at the gym lifting weights. That's my goal.
Hell yeah.
So I keep that in mind too. Like
I'm assuming you'd rather be 80 and doing 10 chin-ups than 80 weighing 120 pounds.
Yes, definitely.
If you had to choose between one of those, you'd probably choose it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. assuming the goal is no longer 120 pounds, we're still going to talk about maintenance and all that, but do you feel like a weight's been lifted off your shoulders a little bit?
I do. I really do, because I've thought about this before. And lately, you know, there's been a big rise in the body positive and just love yourself the way you are. And I kind of got wrapped up into some of that. And so I'm like, maybe I should just give up on my goals of weighing 120 pounds. But I just didn't feel like that was genuine for what, for me, like what I wanted to accomplish.
So what do you want to accomplish?
I want to get stronger and I want to have more muscle and see the results.
I like this because now the end goal isn't about a certain weight. You can still get leaner. Mm-hmm. You can still get more muscle definition. And there's still ways we can do this without making the end goal 120.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, what do you think would be a good step forward? Like just the first step from here, where do you think we go?
Setting new goals, not related to a number on the scale.
I like that. So talk to me, like what kind of goals are you thinking?
Well, I told you I like working on my chin up, so that's definitely one of them.
Okay. So let's make a chin up goal.
10 good form chin-ups.
Okay. I love that. Now what do we have to do to make that happen?
Obviously work on my chin-ups.
Right. You said
and my
you
husband just put up my chin-up bar yesterday.
There we go. I love that.
I didn't have one at the house that was up, and he put it up yesterday. So
you spoke earlier about how you used to do 10 and then now you're not doing as many as you could before. What happened?
I just didn't practice them on a regular basis.
Got it.
At my gym, the only way I can do them is neutral grip, and it's super up high and I can't reach it. So I always have to drag something over to do it. And so it's just not super convenient. So I just, unless I thought about it all the time, I just didn't do them on a regular basis.
Got it. So now since you have the pull-up bar, you're going to be able to do that. That's awesome. I love that. So I think that's an amazing goal. And the interesting, I really like chin-ups a lot for many reasons, not least of which chin-ups are an exercise in which they're almost going to indirectly help you keep your body weight in check, right? Anyone who's ever gone through any bulking phase will know it gets way harder to do chin-ups, even just you put on 5 pounds, they're significantly harder.
Yeah.
So I like that because through your keeping your nutrition in check and consistently practicing the skill of chin-ups, I think it's going to be a great goal for you. I think it's going to help a lot. I do want to talk about the nutrition side of all this in terms of how we can be more relaxed and lenient with your nutrition while maintaining and continuing to make progress.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think you do better when you track calories or not?
Yes.
Okay. Talk about why.
I feel like I'm the one in control.
Okay.
I feel in control, and I guess it kind of empowers me. Like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And it gives you a sense of accomplishment to hit it. I look at when calorie counting, and keeping in mind, I don't do it at this point because my body composition, my body fat is not a goal of mine at all. Mm-hmm. But I look at it as basically like almost a to-do list. When you hit your calories, it's like, okay, got to hit these calories, boom, check it off. You always feel good when you check that off. When I have my to-do list for the day and I can cross things off, I'm like, yeah, crushing it. This is good. And I'm more motivated to keep doing it. And the motivation comes from the consistency aspect rather than like any immediate result. You don't get immediate results from hitting your calories one day.
Right.
But the motivation you get from doing it consistently helps get that result eventually. So how many calories do you think would be a good place to start at for you?
To maintain?
Sure. Yeah.
Like say starting today.
Yeah, starting today.
Probably 1600 is what I would gather.
Wait, I thought you said 1600 was for 120.
Yeah, but I don't really know for 135.
Well, if 1600 maintained at 120, then 135, you could definitely have more, right?
And see, I don't even think that way. I'll just say, I'd be too scared to go much higher. I'd be terrified that I would put on weight. I'll just be real honest.
How long have you been around 135?
Since August.
And how long has it been since you've consistently tracked your calories?
Probably 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, I've done it. I've had some on days, some off days.
Got it. And so do you think you've been eating more than 1600 calories most days?
Some.
So some days higher, some days not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Cause I've been trying to lose weight in there too. So, but I haven't been consistent. So
you've been maintaining
a little bit up and down, you know, within a few pounds.
That's maintaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know, you're not going to weigh the exact same every day.
Right, right,
The essence of maintenance is being within a range of 3 to 5 pounds.
Right.
So here's what's really interesting. And this is sort of where we have to understand expectations, right? It's if you're going to go into maintenance, you have to know, in the same way that when you're trying to lose weight, the scale is going to go up and down. When you're maintaining, you're not going to be the same every single day. It's going to go down. It's going to go up. And if you have a day where you go up 4 pounds, you can't freak out because that it's not about the individual data point. It's the long-term trend, right? So here's what's – to circle back, you were like, well, if I ate more than that, I feel like I'd gain weight. But you've been eating more than that some days. Other days you've been eating less. And you've been right around maintaining weight, even though you haven't been on point with the 1600, right?
Right.
So the difference is physically, you've been maintaining. Mentally, you've been dieting.
Yes. That's, yep.
Isn't that interesting? Yep. Physically, you've been maintaining. Mentally, you've been dieting. And you feel bad because here you want to lose weight. And here you've been staying the same.
Yep.
So now when you have a differentiation between what's going on here and what's happening here, you need to have them meet in the middle.
Right.
You need to figure out what you're going to do. Are you going to try and lose fat, in which case you have to match what's going on here with here, or do you want to go to maintenance, in which case, again, you have to match what's going on here with here. And I think if when you decide to do one or the other, the guilt goes away.
Right. Right.
You make a decision. Right now you're feeling guilty because here you want to be losing weight, but physically in your actions, you're not doing what you need to do that. So now you need to be okay with not trying to lose weight.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't know how to get there.
We start.
Yeah.
In the same way, 193. It's moments are very interesting to me, like I said earlier. Moments are interesting to me because oftentimes, and I've found this with weight loss a lot, people often start losing weight when they're at a point of like when they need to lose it out of fear. Fear of dying, fear of being judged, fear of not being attractive. There's some type of fear oftentimes. It's why people often will go cold turkey on alcohol, go cold turkey on cigarettes, go cold turkey on any vice that they have, because usually there's a fear associated with it that finally gets them where they hit, that's like rock bottom, right? Where like, I'm gonna die type of a thing. Now, I can't tell you if this is gonna be a moment for you. The only person who can do that for you is you.
Mm-hmm.
What I would encourage you to do with every ounce of your strength is to attack maintenance with the same rigor and determination that you started at 193.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, it's way easier said than done. It's very hard. But I don't think that's enough to keep you from trying.
Right, right.
I think for you, it would be easier. The easier decision would be to keep trying to diet. I think you're very good at dieting.
That's my comfort zone.
That's your comfort zone.
Dieting. That when I am not dieting, I don't like it because that's not my comfort zone, and that's not where I've been for the most of, you know, the last 10 years. So I agree.
The hard decision is going to be stop dieting.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to lose weight. And it's going to be very difficult. And you're going to have to consciously be aware of it and call yourself out on it every day.
Yeah.
In the same way you first had to learn the point system of Weight Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to learn calories and you had to learn different exercises. You had to learn how to integrate it into your life, learn how to do them. You're now going to have to learn how to be aware of what's going on and your thoughts, because there will be times where you'll be like, I want to lose weight. I'm going to eat fewer calories, or I need to be doing this, whatever it is. And you need to say, hey, Kim, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You need to enforce it within yourself in the same way when someone says like, hey, I want to lose weight. But if they keep going over their calories or keep skipping the gym, whatever it is, they need to enforce it.
Right.
You need to enforce this with yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, but it will be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to circle back, this is the whole calorie cycling thing, right? You've essentially been calorie cycling.
Yeah.
Some days you eat more, then you get back on track. And you eat more and you get back on track. And you feel guilty up here because you're not losing weight. But you're having days where you go up and down. So that's one of my favorite ways to approach maintenance is through calorie cycling. You have some higher days and you have some lower days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a good place for you to start would be 1600 on low days,
mm-hmm.
3 days a week. And then I would go, so about 3 days a week, 1600. And then 4 days a week, I'd go up to 1800. Now, if I had to guess, you're still going to lose weight on that. If you're 100% consistent with that, I bet you'd still lose weight slowly. I would say, and I've been wrong before, but I would assume that you'll probably lose about half a pound every 2 to 3 weeks with that. Very slow. What I want you to keep track of is your weight. And so if you see that the trend is downward over a month, 2 months, 3 months, that means you can increase your calories.
Mm-hmm.
That means from there, you can either go from 1800 to 1900 while keeping the 1600 low days, or you could go from 1600 to 1700 and have 1800, 1700, right? So then you can just increase it slowly and incrementally that way. Then over time, what's going to happen is, and this is one of the best parts about maintenance, and when you get out of the dieting mindset, when you're stuck wanting to diet here, but you're not actually doing it physically with your actions, it's just perpetual lifetime of dieting, and it just sucks because you're not achieving your goals even though you want to.
Right.
When you align the two
and
you actually take a break from dieting, and you increase your calories and you become okay with it, eventually when you do decide to lose weight again, you'll be more motivated. You'll be ready to go. You'll approach it more readily. And when you have the skill of maintenance combined with fat loss, because your fat loss is great. You have the skill. Maintenance, you're not there yet.
Right.
When you have the skill of the two, you can cycle between them and you can get leaner and then you can maintain. And then you get leaner and you can maybe even bulk a little bit and you go back and forth.
Right.
And that becomes a much more sustainable lifestyle over the long term rather than always dieting and wiping out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. How do you know when that point is? Like, okay, I'm going to do this maintenance. How long? And I guess that's why I never know too, like, when is the right time to diet?
It's a wonderful question. It's a wonderful question. I would say clearly right now is not the right time.
Right.
Considering you wanted to get on this call and talk about maintenance. And I think in your gut and in your heart, you know, it's like what you need to be doing. The issue is you haven't done it yet. And so you've been stuck in this, well, I want to diet, but you're not. So right now, the definitive thing that I think your actions speak louder than anything, but your words also have said, is that right now is the time to go into maintenance. Right now is not the time to diet.
Right.
So with that being said, I would give yourself a minimum of 2 months at maintenance,
mm-hmm.
where you go 100% in the same way that you went 100% from 193. You're like, this is it, making the change.
Mm-hmm.
Go 100%. No ifs, ands, or buts. No BS. Go 100% with this. Don't, if you're, because your gut's going to tell you, don't eat 1800.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit nerve wracking.
Yeah.
You have to push through it. Because logically, you know, on days where you haven't been tracking, you've been eating more than that sometimes. Like, you know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, at 1800 and 1600, you're not going to gain weight. I promise you, you're just not.
I know that in my mind, but I don't know if I believe that. You know what I mean?
Say that one more time, very slowly.
Say, I know that, like, logically in my mind, but I don't know if I truly believe that, you know?
Say that again. Say it one more time. I'm going to make you repeat this phrase.
I know that in my mind logically, but I don't know if I really believe it.
What does that mean?
Like, I'm a very logical, like, thought out person. I know that's the way it should be, but I have a hard time convincing myself that that will be true.
So do you believe it or not?
Okay, I believe it, but I'm scared.
Good.
Yeah.
Have your sons ever told you they're scared to do something?
Yeah.
And what do you usually say?
That they can do it and encourage them and no reason to be scared.
And even if they are scared, it's okay.
Yeah.
Usually when you're scared...
That means you need to do it.
That's right.
I know.
That's right. And I think I'm so glad that you wrote and that you're willing to get on this call, because I think just based on your personality, you're going to do this now.
Yeah.
Like, this step was the step that you needed to take to now develop a healthy relationship with food.
Yeah.
To stop dieting. To right. not spend the rest of your life dieting. That's really what this call has been about. How to stop dieting.
It really is.
How to align your mind with what you actually want and need to do. So it's going to be scary because, like you said, dieting's your comfort zone.
Yep.
Now you need to get the fuck out of your comfort zone.
I know. And I was even hesitant. I've been wanting to email you for a long time, and I just kept putting it off because I was scared. And then...
You knew what we were going to say.
I kind of did. And so I'm like, I'm just doing it. I don't care. I'm just going to, I was nervous sending the email and, you know, getting on this call because I think I knew.
There was no way that you expected to get on this call and have me tell you a strategy to get and maintain 120 pounds for the rest of your life. That's just, there's no way you knew. You're in the inner circle.
Yeah.
Logically, you knew. You might have hoped that, like, maybe he'll have a special strategy that I can get to 120 pounds. But I think in your heart, you probably would have been disappointed if I gave you a strategy to do that, because you're like, that's insane. And it doesn't mean you can't do it. I think you can
because
you're insanely strong-willed. But what's right for you, what's right for your mind, what's right for your heart, what's right for your soul, what's right for your family, what's right for your life – it's not 120. That's not the goal. That's not
right.
You want to be the 80-year-old doing chin-ups, not the 80-year-old walking around at 120.
Right. Right. And I also tell myself about a goal weight, like, no one can tell what you weigh from looking at you. No one knows that the scale said 120 this morning or 135. I mean, obviously people can tell, you know, what your body looks like, the size, but no one knows what the actual number is. So
no one cares either.
Yeah, and no one cares. Yeah, because I'm like, I don't go around looking at people going, I wonder what they weigh, you know? That, like,
no one cares.
Irrelevant. Yeah.
It goes back to when you're 90 years old and looking back on your life, are you going to be happy that you spent your life trying to weigh a certain amount to impress people who don't care anyway?
Right.
Or are you going to be happy that you spent your life healthy, strong, enjoying your favorite foods in moderation, enjoying your family, enjoying nights out, family dinners, while still working towards achieving your goals? The answer is obvious.
Yes. And I think that's too part of being a good example is I don't want my kids to see that mommy's always dieting, because they have made comments, even them, like, oh, you're eating that, because they're not used to seeing me eat that, or not used to seeing me not weigh something. You know, they know what I do. And so when I don't do that, they're a little surprised.
This is going to be great for them to see too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. So when are you starting this?
I guess today.
I love that.
Because I'm going out for dinner tonight, getting takeout and going to a park so I can get what I want to eat.
Hell yeah, you can. So are you going to start tracking calories today too?
Yeah, I already tracked some of them.
Amazing. So is today going to be a 1600 and 1800 day?
We'll make it 18.
Hell yeah, there
we
go.
Well, we'll see. If I don't want to stuff myself. I hate being stuffed. So I'll just put in whatever my dinner is and see where I'm at.
Good.
You know, because that's one thing I used to do that when I was overweight, like stuff myself. That's mainly how I gained the weight. And I hate that feeling. So I'm just going to order just what I would like and eat a normal portion and move on.
That makes me incredibly happy.
And I guess if there's room for ice cream, we'll get ice cream.
If you're hungry for ice cream, you can have a little ice cream for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say just make sure that you make a plan. 3 days a week, 1600, 4 days a week, 1800. And it's flexible. It doesn't have to be, all right, well, every Monday, like if you can, it can be flexible. Make the plan, just write it out.
Right. Okay.
And do the red X, or you know, in the inner circle, yeah. The red X and the black circles, do that. Mm-hmm. Find your consistency for 30 days, at 2 months, I'd like at least.
Okay.
And then if you want, we can hop on another call and reevaluate.
Okay.
All right.
I love it.
Any other questions?
Quick question about training. First of all, okay. When you're talking about the chin-ups, are chin-ups something I can do every day?
So yes, they are. I would treat them. There's a method of training called Grease the Groove.
Uh-huh.
Are you doing the chin-up specialization program in the inner circle?
I'm done with it now. So I was actually going to start the monthly workouts.
Okay. Amazing. Okay. So if you're going to do, chin-ups every day, which you can, there's a method called Grease the Groove. And basically what that means is you never take them to failure.
Okay.
Because you're doing it every day.
Okay.
The purpose isn't to go to failure. And the purpose should be to practice it like a skill.
Okay.
In the same way that walking up the stairs, we walk up the stairs every day. And if you think about walking up the stairs, you're doing a step up every single time.
Right.
It's an exercise.
Yeah.
If you took walking up the stairs to failure every time, like you'd be demolished. It would be awful.
Right.
I think one of the things I always say is if we just as a community, as a society, the world like abolished staircases. Staircases were no longer allowed. And in place of staircases, we put ropes and you had to climb up. Everybody would eventually be able to climb the rope. Everybody over time, because you'd be required to, you would adapt and you would learn how to climb a rope.
Right.
It'd be very difficult and people would be very sore at first. And some people wouldn't be able to get up until eventually they got it. But that's why you can absolutely do chin-ups every day, but not to complete failure.
Okay.
I would say where's the chin-up bar in your house?
In my basement.
In your basement. Mm-hmm. How are you in your basement every day?
Yeah, mostly.
I would make a planned 3 to 5 trips to your basement every day.
Okay.
How many chin-ups in a row can you do right now?
Unassisted?
Yeah.
Like one and a half.
Okay. That's perfect.
I have bands.
Okay. So what I would do, is one very difficult right now?
I just tried it last night. It was not easy, but I could get it.
Okay. So right now, so we'll say for the first week, make 3 trips a day to your basement.
Okay.
And each trip, do one chin-up.
Okay.
The second week, 4 trips to your basement a day.
Okay.
Each time, do one chin-up.
Okay.
Third week, 5 trips to your basement every day. Each time, one chin-up.
Okay.
So now we went from We went from 21 chin-ups in a week to 28 chin-ups to 35 chin-ups. You see how that progresses, the volume over time. That adds up. So then what you could do the following week after that is start doing, go back down to 3 trips a day, 2 chin-ups every time. 2.
Okay, I see.
Makes sense?
Awesome. Yep. I like that idea. Because that's when I'm not specifically working on them, I never really knew how to include them on a program if you weren't specifically working on them. So that really helps.
And that's actually how I'm doing my push-ups right now, too, my 300 push-ups a day.
Uh-huh.
When I first started, I was doing sets of 10,
mm-hmm.
then 15s, then 20s, then 25s. And occasionally I'll take 1 or 2 sets to failure just like to test where I'm at.
Right.
Now, when I first, failure was around like 30 at first. Now failure is over 50.
Uh-huh.
It improves fast.
Okay.
The trick is you have to be very strict with yourself because I know you. I don't know you, but I know you're kind. And I know that you're going to go and you're going to do a pull-up and you're going to be like, I can do another one. Don't. Follow the plan.
Okay. If
when you can start doing these sets and feeling like you could do another one, it means it's working.
Okay.
So don't take, just keep going. All right.
Okay. Okay. And my last question about training is I'm terrible. I don't do a lot of stretching or any mobility work. I don't really have any issues, aches, and pains. Is this something that's going to hold me back in the long run? Or do I need to incorporate it now? Like, I just don't know. Like, is this something that long term I need to learn how to bring into my programs?
Well, have you used the mobility guide in the Inner Circle?
I haven't. I've looked at it.
I would say, so there's a number of different warmups and there are mobility guides. I would say if you do, it's tough to just give a blanket recommendation. I'll say this, generally speaking, I actually spoke about this on the live today. And were you on the Inner Circle live today?
Yeah.
So I think I spoke about this today. It was how, generally speaking, men tend to have more stability and strength and lack mobility, and women tend to have more mobility and they lack stability. A lot of people, whenever they have an injury, the question in the Inner Circle live today, someone was like, oh, my back hurts. Right. Like, what stretches should I be doing? Usually, oftentimes, people say when they have an injury, they want to know what stretch to do because we just associate stretching with fixing injuries. It's not accurate. If you're stretching through an injury that isn't going to be fixed by mobility, you're going to do more harm than good.
Right.
I would say if you are already relatively mobile and you're moving well, you don't need to do mobility and stretching every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even 3 times a week is plenty.
Okay.
Even something as simple as a dedicated mobility warm-up that we have in the Inner Circle before one of your workouts, 5 to 7 minutes
mm-hmm.
is plenty.
Okay.
If you needed, I would say maintaining your mobility is much easier than gaining it. Okay. In the same way, maintaining your strength is much easier than gaining it.
Mm-hmm.
You can reduce your training volume by 2/3 and still maintain all your strength.
Right.
To gain strength, it takes a lot more volume and time and effort. So if you're good with where you're at now, you just don't want to lose it, just add it a couple times a week.
Okay. That's great.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just not something I've never focused on because I didn't really see like it was holding me back. But for the long term, I think it probably is a good idea.
I think it's a good idea to get in the habit of doing it several times a week. You don't need to make it the majority of your program. I think more men would do well to include more mobility in their training. And I think more women would do well to lift more heavy weight. And obviously those are huge generalizations, but, and some men need more strength training and some women need more mobility, but generally speaking, that's what I adhere to. And if your mobility is already in a decently good place, just a couple times a week is plenty.
Okay. Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
This was great. I hope it was helpful.
It was.
And I would love if you'd like to, and definitely please keep me updated at the very least. And if you want to hop on a call again, I would love to just to reevaluate and see how things are going.
I would love that. I really appreciate all your time. And this has been very Very, very helpful.
This has been a pleasure. I appreciate you. I respect you. You work clearly very, very hard. And I hope your family is safe and healthy. And if I can do anything, please tell me, okay?
Yeah, you too, Jordan. Stay safe. Thank you.
All right, I'll see you in the inner circle. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes. They've been helping a lot. And one quick reminder, if you want bodyweight workouts or home workouts or an incredible supportive community to help you with your fitness and nutrition and strength training, the Inner Circle is available. You can join at www.sfinnercircle.com.